Welcome, Gisters. I'm Aidan McFadden.
And I'm Josh Marsh.
And you're listening to the Gist Podcast, Episode 10.
Imagine you're on a sailboat as it casts off the dock. You reach clear air, and the craft slowly puts its bow into the wind. A crew member releases the sail ties off the boom and raises the main halyard. Brilliant white cloth soars up the mast and is immediately caught by a strong gust of wind. You are moving.
Wind sailing has been around for thousands of years. There are even records of ancient Mesopotamians wielding sailboats for fishing and trade between cities. Podcast 10 is all about sailing, but of a different variety.
In 1971, NASA launched its Mariner 10 space probe. 3 years later, the small craft was running low on attitude control gas. The craft was equipped with large solar panels and was on a mission to Mercury, and therefore close to the sun. This gave mission control an idea. By angling its solar arrays just right, Mariner 10 was the first spacecraft to make use of the pressure from solar radiation in order to adjust its orientation. 40 years later, solar sailing, as it's called, is a hot area of research.
So, my name is Matteo Cerriotti. I'm a lecturer in Space Systems Engineering at University of Glasgow.
And what exactly is it that you do?
My area of expertise is about orbital dynamics and trajectory optimization. And essentially, this means designing and finding the optimal trajectories for spacecraft to travel in space, both around the Earth, but also for missions towards other planets or smaller bodies like asteroids and comets.
And you have a particular interest in solar sails?
Yes, I do. I have interest in solar sails, yes.
Could you tell me a little bit about how the interest in solar sails relates to your work with trajectories?
Well, solar sails are a very interesting way to provide an acceleration to a spacecraft without any need of a thruster, and therefore we don't need any propellant. And this is how solar sails can potentially enable trajectories that cannot be otherwise be flown with traditional propulsion, simply because we wouldn't have enough propellant on board on the spacecraft, as we cannot refuel a spacecraft in space.
So I've seen solar sails used in like sci-fi movies and stuff like that, and they always look like they're extending massive tinfoil sails around the craft, and somehow the light is pushing the craft, but how exactly does that work?
Okay, the concept of the solar sail is very simple. And the idea is that we essentially reflect the photons coming from the sun. And because Maxwell discovered that photons carry momentum, whenever we reflect a photon back towards the sun, then there is a momentum exchange between the photon itself and the reflecting body, so the solar sail. And this effect is something that we cannot perceive on a day-to-day basis because it's extremely small. But you can think of, for example, throwing a ball into an open door, and then the door will start to move. And this is because there was an exchange of momentum between the ball and the door. And you can imagine the door being the solar sail and the ball being one of the photons.
Solar sails have to be reflective in order to maximize the amount of energy transferred to the sail. Think back to physics class when your teacher discussed elastic versus inelastic collisions. In more elastic collisions, similar to light on a reflective surface, the two objects bounce off each other, like Dr. Cerriotti's example of throwing a ball at a door. The object that is moving faster, i.e. the photon, slows down or reverses direction while the slower object, the sail, increases velocity. In an inelastic collision, similar to light being absorbed by a non-reflective object, the two objects stick together, thus producing a smaller momentum. However, since the photon is massless, rather than sticking together, the sail absorbs its energy and turns it into heat. This produces a smaller acceleration than if the photon were to be reflected.
The fact is that the amount of momentum that each photon carries is extremely small, and therefore the acceleration given to a solar sail by a single photon is also extremely small, and this is why we need very large reflective surfaces in order to have a perceived, sensible acceleration onto the spacecraft that we can actually use for navigating in space.
A dark cloud approaches and an eerie calm settles over the ship. You have entered a squall. The wind picks up, snapping the sail taut. You lose your balance and grasp for a nearby rail, righting yourself just as a blast of air and water hits your face. The sail is snapping back and forth. The wind has grown fierce. You crouch down and ready yourself.
Air, or wind, is composed of heavy stuff. Diatomic nitrogen and oxygen, a bit of argon and carbon dioxide. These are all substantial molecules, or atoms in the case of argon, and they can carry a lot of momentum. Photons, on the other hand, don't even qualify as having mass. Whereas wind can be strong enough to stir up the seas and cause you to lose your balance, the momentum carried by a ray of light is far too small to even notice. As a result, solar sails must be very large and very light.
And by large reflective surfaces, you're talking around the order of kilometers?
So, there are a few theoretical studies in which, yes, they envisage to use sails of the size of kilometers, even kilometers. Of course, we are far from building such a large sail. However, there were smaller solar sail demonstrators which flew recently in the last, say, 5 to 10 years, and which were carrying sails of the order of 1 to 20 meters, let's say. So, much smaller, but still enough to have a sensible acceleration which can be measured on the spacecraft.
A lot of research goes into the actual deployment of the sails. One idea is to spin the spacecraft, generating an outward centrifugal force that effectively drags the sail out and into its extended position. It's sort of like how, if you twirl a weight at the end of a string, it will stretch the string outwards and keep it taut for as long as you are spinning. Maintaining the spin isn't a problem in space, since there's no friction to slow the craft down.
It may sound simple, but in fact it's one of the largest problems in the field. Imagine you were back in the sailboat when the sail was being unfurled, except instead of just raising the halyard, the entire apparatus, mast and all, had to be extracted from inside the hull at the press of a button. Add to that the sail can be anywhere from meters to kilometers long. And you don't just have to worry about storing and deploying the sail, but also the booms that support it, which have to be strong enough to withstand the solar force exerted on the sail.
Essentially, there is a single point failure in a solar sail, which is the deployment of the solar sail itself. So if you have a spacecraft with a solar sail and no alternate means of propulsion, it means that if the solar sail fails in deployment, then the mission is a failure. If you have thrusters, it's easier to have backup solutions. If you have a solar sail and thrusters, then there is no real point of having a solar sail. The point of a solar sail is not to have thrusters at all, or to have extremely small thrusters. So this single point failure in the deployment is very, very critical. Also, it's extremely difficult to test the deployment of solar sails on Earth, simply because on Earth we are subject to gravity, and because solar sails are so thin, the gravity is affecting the deployment greatly. So it's extremely difficult to test the deployment of a very thin surface of the thickness of the order of a few microns when gravity is around. And also the air is actually producing a major disturbance on those very thin membranes. So these deployments have to be tested in vacuum chambers, so chambers with extremely low pressure, which kind of emulates the space environment. But again, if you want to deploy a solar sail that is maybe 20 by 20 meters, then it's not so easy to find a vacuum chamber that can contain that solar sail. So testing the deployment of on Earth is extremely difficult. Testing it in space is extremely risky.
Because of the cost?
Because of the cost, yes. Although they are still deemed as very risky, a kind of very risky technology, there is budget being invested in this kind of research. NASA has recently proposed a solar sail mission to the Earth's Sun Lagrangian L1 point. Unfortunately, this mission was recently cancelled because the budget was too high and the mission was deemed to be too risky. But there is still a trend and a will from the space agencies to keep investing. And the more research we put in, the more we can make a case that solar sail is indeed at the moment a very risky business, but is also a very high return, potentially high return business as well.
Your ship has left the squall and is headed for a series of small islands. You dock at the first in order to do some sightseeing. The small coastal village is lovely, and the locals sell you food and trinkets. After a day of exploring, you return to the ship and leisurely depart for the next island.
And so the main things that Solar Sails change as far as the game of space travel is that you can use the spacecraft over and over and over again regardless, or not having to worry about fuel.
Yes, so essentially the spacecraft can fly for extended amounts of time in space, far longer than any spacecraft propelled with traditional thruster can, simply because the fuel depletes after a while. Instead, with solar sailing, you have a force that is theoretically unlimited in terms of time. So in the case of the multiple asteroid rendezvous mission, you can afford to fly to an asteroid, even for a few years to get there, and then once you're there, you perform the science you want, you inspect the asteroid, study the composition, study its mass, and then move away from that asteroid with the solar sail, and again try to rendezvous to another asteroid, which could be extremely far from the first one. And you can afford to have even more years of traveling before reaching the second asteroid. You can do the same for a third one and a fourth one and so on and so forth. So the benefits in this case are, of course, costs with respect to traditional propulsion, because visiting different number of asteroids will require a huge spacecraft or a lot of smaller spacecraft. Instead, with solar sailing, we can potentially do the same using a single spacecraft.
So do you think that solar sails can ever stand completely on their own, or will they need to be accompanied by traditional means of propulsion, like rocket fuel and such?
Theoretically, there is no need of additional propulsion or rocketry, simply because the solar sail can produce an acceleration, and by steering the solar sail with respect to the sun, it's possible to change the direction of the acceleration, as well as change the magnitude of the acceleration itself, so how much the acceleration is. And if the orbit is designed accordingly, then it's possible to entirely navigate using solar sailing. With solar sailing, it's also possible to change the attitude of a spacecraft, that is, the direction of the spacecraft with respect to the direction of the sun. And this is done using a technology that is currently used on 3D glasses for home cinema, the active glasses. So essentially, the glasses contain a layer of liquid crystals that are, when they are subject to an electric potential, they simply become completely opaque and black. And whenever they are not subject to the potential, then they are completely transparent. So if you coat part of a solar sail with these crystals and then you apply potential in a certain way, then what you get is essentially that a part of the sail is more opaque than the opposite part, and therefore you have a differential force or torque that ultimately rotates the spacecraft.
Motorboats are incredibly easy to steer. You can go forwards, backwards, turn left or right. Wind really doesn't mean much when you have a strong gas-powered propeller at your disposal. But eventually that gas is going to run out. While the sailboat may not be able to take as direct a path as your motorboat, it will get there and it won't need to stop for fuel on the way.
Like a sailboat, steering a craft using a solar sail takes some doing.
So how does the use of solar sails affect the design of trajectory, or in ways that you wouldn't have to deal with the design of trajectory for more normal propulsion systems?
Well, designing trajectories for a solar sail is a little bit trickier, because the acceleration that the solar sail can provide is not completely unconstrained in terms of direction and magnitude. So whenever a spacecraft has got a thruster on board, you can simply point the nozzle of the thruster in a certain direction and then switch on the engine, and you automatically have a force in that direction. If at some point you want to change the direction of that force, you simply rotate the spacecraft again and you switch on your thruster again, and then you have a force in another direction. With a solar sail, it's a little bit trickier, because the force that we get, it's always coming from the photons from the sun. So we can never really get a force that goes towards the sun. We can only get a force that goes away from the sun. It's kind of similar if you think of, if you put your hand in a windstream, then you can never have a force on your hand that pushes towards the windstream. It's always downstream. So this is kind of the same thing. So in this way, the trajectories for solar sails have to be designed taking this constraint into account, the fact that the acceleration is not free, but is somehow constrained, and we have limitations on the acceleration direction. We can steer it a little bit, but we can't really steer it completely as we would wish, ideally.
Does that eliminate the possibility of return trips on crafts using only solar sails?
No, it doesn't. In the same way as a boat can go upwind within some limitations, then solar sails can both go towards the sun, inwards or outwards. So essentially with solar sails we can both brake and accelerate.
Interesting. Could you tell me more about that?
Yeah, so essentially the way we get closer into the sun in space is with braking. So we just need to reduce our velocity. If we reduce the velocity, then automatically we are flying inwards in the solar system towards the sun. If we increase our velocity, then we automatically fly outwards towards the outer planets, toward Mars and Saturn.
So are you saying that you basically just have to stop the solar, or you have to stop the craft, and then you can utilize the sun's gravity to go back inwards?
You can't really stop the craft, but what you can do is to slow it down. Mm-hmm. So you essentially use a solar sail at a certain pitch angle to reflect the photons, say 45 degrees to the sun, and this will produce essentially a break. It's a break. So you reduce your speed with respect to the sun, and you automatically start falling towards the sun more than what you would if you were if you kept traveling with the same constant speed.
The important thing to remember here is that objects in a gravity well, like our solar system, do not sit at rest by default. The Earth, the other planets, and asteroids don't generally fall into the Sun because they've achieved stable orbits. This provides them with enough centrifugal force to counteract the Sun's gravitational pull. Without that, or without some other means of propelling yourself away from the Sun, you're in free fall. But for a spacecraft, this can be quite useful, since all you need to do to move further into the solar system is to cut the engines or break the sail.
The one I'm dealing with personally, which is the one of finding optimal trajectories for solar sailing. That is, trajectories that could be exploited with sails being extremely small or as small as possible, because as I said, it's difficult to deploy a large sailing space, and the effectiveness or the acceleration that we can get from the sail depends on the ratio between the area of the sail and the mass of the spacecraft. So the smaller the sail, the less the acceleration. The bigger the sail, the more the acceleration we get. So by having a very small sail, we have a small acceleration. What I'm trying to do is to find trajectories that exploit this very small acceleration to go to useful targets.
Solar sails may provide the key to unlocking truly reusable long-range spacecraft. But for now, we'll just have to wait and to watch as the technology develops.
Thanks for joining us. If you would like to get involved with the podcast or contact The Gist, email us at editor@the-capitalLettersGIST.org.
Tune in next time.